Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Sure enough, everybody, it is Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Joining us tonight, Lost Prophets. Ian Watkins, lead vocals, who is moments away, en route.
Lead singer syndrome.
And that voice is that of Jamie Oliver, keyboard. What is with those lead singers?
Unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
Exactly.
Unacceptable. Even babies know that. But you guys are out on tour?
We're kind of doing probably. We're doing like a press tour type of thing. We're going to be touring in the UK in July, and then more than likely coming back over here and doing some gigs.
And the new CD is out the 27th of June. It's called Liberation Transmission. There's a new single out on the 19th.
Yes.
Rooftops.
Yes.
And we're going to hear that tonight?
I hope so,
If your record wrangler ever gets here. I know what it is about live radio. It's a little bit of a stretch for a music wrangler, I guess. That it's
I think being in the pub too long.
It'd be one thing if she'd never brought any bands here before, but I've been here a couple of times. Anyway, whatever. What are you gonna do? Is this any sort of a world premiere or anything of this song, or has it been out anywhere else?
I think they played it in France.
So other than France, this will be a U.S.
I think then
North American
it.
World premiere then.
Yeah.
All right, that's good. then they're slightly forgiven. Let's take some calls, shall we? You're okay? Jamie, you all right?
Sorry, this is the world's highest chair.
There should be a little lever just underneath the, yeah, right
I'm feeling, there. I'll just sit up high.
Fair enough.
I feel empowered.
This is Jennifer. Jennifer?
Hi.
Hey there.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, not bad.
Now with Lost Prophets.
I just wanted to say I love you, Dr. Drew. I listen to you guys all the time.
That's cool. Thanks, Jennifer.
I have a question about breast implants.
Yeah.
I was thinking about getting them. I'm still young, but I just want to know, like, the dangers, and I've heard of them leaking, and I just didn't want to.
All right. What is it you need to get from two?
Well, I'm a 36A, so I wanted to go up. I'm pretty, like, petite and short. So I wanted, anything would be better than what I have.
All right. And you want to give it a little time first? Sometimes women can develop all the way up to 21.
Right. I know. I just, maybe when I'm thinking maybe 19.
All right. So you're going to give a little bit of time. You're not in a rush to it. Well, it's a surgery like any other. You're going under the knife. So bleeding, infection, those sorts of things are real risk. Anesthesia. Anytime somebody goes under anesthesia.
Right. I heard horrible leaking, complications.
The leaking thing is not that big a deal. That has a lot have been made of that over the years, and that has been pretty much dispelled as a significant problem. In fact, the silicone breast implants are really back because they are thought to be quite safe now.
Okay.
The more common kinds of problems are things like scarring and movement, and oftentimes
yeah,
when
and
you
like they're uneven.
Yeah, oftentimes when you embark on. Yes, Jennifer. Oftentimes when you embark on this procedure, it's not just a one-time thing. It's a series of procedures to get it right or to sort of keep moving around and repairing it and getting it where you want it and breaking up the scar tissue and all that kind of good stuff.
Right.
So you're committing yourself to... It's a foreign body in your body. You're committing yourself to a lot of work.
Usually that's a pervert doctor, though, right, Drew? He just wants to go back in there.
That's the reason they go back. Yeah. When they're breaking up the scar, which they do manually by sort of crushing the implant, that's just good for the doctor. It's fun for them. Good times. That's what that is, Anderson. Yeah. But there you go. It costs a bit of money to make sure you've seen the surgeon's work and make sure you think carefully about where you want, what approach you want, whether it's periareolar or subaxillary. There's different ways of putting them in. So.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Good luck.
Bye.
Yeah. This is Jenna.
Hello.
Hi, Jenna.
Hi.
Hey, you're on with the Lost Prophets.
Hello.
By the way, on their website here in Los Angeles, they spelled Lost Prophets like profits and gains. P-R-O-F-I-T-S.
Did they? That wouldn't be the first time.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Lost. They drop the T usually.
It's a clever juxtaposition of words, but...
I hope not.
Jenna.
Yes.
Here you go.
Okay. I have a boyfriend, and I've been with him for about 4 months, and I've been friends with my ex-boyfriend for probably 5 years, 4 years now, something like that.
Ooh, wow.
And, yeah, the current is, like, ready to dump me because I pretty much won't give up the friendship with the ex.
Hmm.
And, I mean, I don't feel like I feel like he's being selfish, and but he thinks
okay,
I'm
Jenna,
being selfish.
Jenna, you're going to have to search your soul and be completely honest with me. Do you harbor any secret wish or desire or fantasy about getting back with the old boyfriend? Anything? Is there an inkling of a wish?
Well, no, but I do still care about him, probably as like more than a friend.
Okay.
And
let me translate that. Yes, you harbor a fantasy to get back with this guy. Very deep, deep fantasy, it sounds like. Why haven't you gotten back with him?
He is married.
Is he a jerk?
No.
Is he likely to cheat on his wife?
No, I mean, he's never cheated on her, like, you know, since
just from the standpoint of your overall ability to be available for another relationship, this sounds like a horrible situation for you. You shouldn't be friends with this guy, I suspect, because you still harbor these fantasies and feelings about this guy, and it's just flirting with disaster. It's just tantalizing you all the time. And he sounds sadistic to maintain this relationship, and God knows what he actually intends. He's married.
Yeah, he is married. Well, I mean, I feel like I can keep a distance, you know.
No, no. Jenna, who are you kidding? Who are you kidding?
Ooh.
Who are you kidding?
I guess myself, but...
Yes, that's who you're kidding. That's right. You're trying to kid me, but you're kidding yourself. And your current boyfriend senses all this, and it's driving him insane. It's just, I forget about the current boyfriend. Just the flirtation with disaster you have going here is just ridiculous. And why do you got to think about why you need to maintain that dance? That's awful. And seriously, this guy sounds sadistic to put you in that position.
Well, it's really, I guess it's just comfortable at this point.
It's comfortable because you can live with a fantasy and not have to have a real relationship. Come on, Jenna, let's get on with it. It's time to break it down and have a real relationship. Stop it. Are you kidding? Come on. What?
Spunky, citrus makes it taste better.
Yeah. Not really.
You've heard it, but it's never actually true.
No, it really doesn't do much. It's hard to make anything come out of your body that's gross taste better. You can't make your poo taste better. You know what I mean? Things just you can't.
Just don't chew.
It's never strawberries. It's still not going to come out of soft swirl. It just isn't.
I've heard that so many times, and it's not.
Years ago on this show, we actually tested it scientifically. It didn't bear up to scientific scrutiny at all.
Oh, okay.
So, there you go.
My strawberry theory to myself.
Nobody could tell anything. It was all bad. But, Jenna, come on now. My other instinct on this? This current boyfriend, not the right guy.
Ooh.
He's really great.
I know he is.
Really jealous.
I get he's a really great guy, not the right guy. Okay? Am I right on that? Am I right?
I can't say that. I don't know.
Let's put it this way. You don't harbor the same intensity of feelings for this guy as you do for that old guy, and that's what you want to find.
That could be true.
That's true. And I can pretty much promise you that you can find it with somebody else in a real relationship, not in a fantasy. Okay?
Yeah, all right.
All right, good luck now.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.
It's always difficult when you got this friendship thing that, you hide everything under the banner of friends.
Us BS in that case. And that wasn't even a friendship. That was a tantalizing sexual, sort of romance that was kindled by, it was Romeo and Juliet. Maintained on the inability to be consummated. Ian came in. How you doing,
yes,
Ian?
I'm sorry.
Ian Watkins, lead singer. I blame your record wranglers. I do. I blame you guys. Now that you never come here or anything, come on.
They stopped for food on the way.
Yeah, sure, of course.
They had like three courses, and I was like, don't get dessert.
Thank you.
They kept me in the car.
Why is Jamie crawling around the floor?
I'm looking for the thing that makes the seat go down.
I see.
It's nice to see you again.
Good to see you, too. Yeah. Thanks for coming in. New album coming out.
Yeah.
Liberation Transmission, June 27th. Yeah. Single, June 26th, Rooftop, which we're going to hear tonight, right?
Yes.
You'll let us do that? And it'll be a North American premiere, right? Yes?
I think it's been playing it.
Oh, Just say yes.
Where has it been being played?
Oh, I don't know. In Boise. In a small independent station, maybe.
Well, you'll have to listen to it up there then, because we're not playing it here. All right, we're going to take some more calls. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. We're going to talk to Jen. Hi, Jen.
Yeah, hello.
Hey there. You're on with Ian and Jamie from Lost Prophets.
Hey, Jen.
Hi. How you doing?
Oh, you know.
Well, I'm just calling you tonight because I've had a piercing mishap like so many others I've heard about on your show.
Yeah.
And it's not as bad as some of the others. I never have anything amputated, but...
Did you hear about the guy that lost his penis on the show?
Oh, my really? God. That sounded horrible.
Yes, yeah, that did sound horrible.
He lost it here on the show?
Not here. He got...
like in the room?
What's that? Yeah, he got a ring infected, and they had to take off the penis and debride his pelvis, all dig out the whole infected material from his pelvis.
Oh.
It was bad.
Yeah, mine is
you right?
No. No, I'm not.
Well, my question is, I basically got my nipples pierced, and, like, the one looks great, the one is awesome, and, like, I got this some years ago. But the other one, I had larger breasts, and my it grew out. Do you know what that means? Like it kind of the piercing kind of like pushed its way to the surface,
yeah.
And basically created something that has been termed Pac-Man booty.
So bifurcated, two scissors nipples.
Like a forked nipple.
Never
like I have a little slit in my boob, and I was cool. Just wondering if there is anything. I mean, it's not something that you would actually notice unless your face was in it. But it's something that I noticed, and I was wondering if there's any way to make it back to normal.
Glue.
I was gonna say glue.
You know, you'd have to consult with a plastic surgeon. I don't know. I doubt it. I doubt it because you. I would suspect that if you're going to mess around with that structure, you're going to potentially mess around with the function of that structure. And if you ever want to have breastfeed.
I don't care so much about the function specifically as much as...
You don't ever want to breastfeed.
Yeah, maybe a child will.
Yeah, you don't ever want to breastfeed.
No, mom.
I'm not the type of gal, I don't think. But,
say that again, what? You're not a kid?
I don't think I'm the kid having type of gal. I don't want them.
All right. Maybe one day. I'm happy to hear that, but... be that as it may, yeah, one day you might, as Ian said. Anyway, you need to consult with a plastic surgeon. I bet if you're not worried about function, there's probably stuff they can do.
I don't think it matters anyway.
Well, that's the other thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You hear that?
It wouldn't bother me.
Oh my God,
your nipples in two.
You can put your little eyes on the top.
Yeah, I think it's just
weird. How weird is it for a guy to look at?
No, not at all. It's nothing. It's very, very insignificant.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things that is magnified in your own head, but...
Seven toes on one foot. No, that would I'd know.
No,
that.
I wouldn't even be bothered by that, really.
Yeah.
If the girl was hot.
10 toes on one foot.
That's pushing it,
okay,
maybe.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right.
No worries, though.
Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye. This is Gary. Gary? Hey, Gary.
Gary boy.
He's asleep.
Caller who goes by Gary. You're on with Lost Prophets. Try it again.
That's why he hung up.
Oh, hey, man.
Gary. Oh, he's gone.
Hello?
It said he met a girl at a concert. It's about to marry her.
Ooh. Oh.
Nice. This is Matt. Matt.
Hello?
Matt?
Hey, Matt. You're on with Lost Prophets.
Oh, hey. I really, really like bad sweating in my genitalia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, around my testicles and my, like, ass. But, like... I'm 14, so I don't want to get, like, surgery.
No, you
like
shouldn't.
I don't, like, sweat in my armpits or anything. It's all, like, concentrated there.
Where?
In your
pelvis.
Yeah, so it's just really, like, it smells bad, and I don't know, I just feel insecure about it.
I don't know, what do you think?
Huh?
You wearing, like, really tight underwear.
No.
I know that sounds like a stupid question, but, that's, you know.
I've got a friend
I've got
a friend. This friend I have, he occasionally sweats in the same area. But that's if he's removed hair in that area.
Removed hair?
Yeah, maybe
sweat more.
A trim, yeah, sweats more.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah. Talcum
powder is what you need, but I agree with Jamie completely.
Mm. Oh, all right. All right. Thanks.
Yeah, try it. And be careful. I mean, don't put too much on. You end up with paper mache.
Yeah, and don't wear black after.
Don't wear black.
Because it gets all over the place.
Okay, let's try
My friend says.
Let's try Brian.
My friend wants
That's what
to
I hear.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
What's happening? You're on with Lost Prophets.
Hey, Brian.
Hey,
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing?
No bad.
Good.
You know? Just chilling.
Yeah, I have a question, guys.
Yep.
What do you guys feel about having, like gay fans or whatever? Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, are you guys comfortable with that? Do you like that fan base?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all.
It makes no difference.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because you guys are definitely sexy. It's definitely
okay,
cool.
Okay, Brian. Hey, Brian. I don't care what you are, but you can't say the S word or the F word on national radio. Are you there? Anderson, what'd you do with him?
He's gone.
Yeah.
I just told him for a second, Drew.
All right.
We'll you take him aside.
I had to do surgery on the goddamn clip just now.
So. I know. All right. Are we ready?
Beep, 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 beep.
Brian, you back?
Yeah.
Keep okay. your mouth clean, please, fag. Thank you.
Okay, Brian.
Yeah.
Here we go. What do you want to tell these guys without using the S or the F word?
Okay.
Go ahead.
I just want to say that I'm a fan. I think you guys are really hot, and I like your music, and my friends are all fans. And
awesome. Yeah, no, it doesn't bother me at all.
What?
It doesn't bother me at all. I don't see why it would, you know?
Yeah.
Does it bother you, Jay?
Not at all.
Some guys aren't, like, too supportive of it and whatnot, you know what I mean? Even my friends aren't, but it's cool.
You are.
I don't know what that means, but here's Katie. Katie?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, what's up?
I don't know if that was a veiled compliment.
I don't know what it was.
I think
let's
you
keep
are.
Going.
You know?
Yeah.
Keep moving forward. Yeah. Katie, what's happening?
I'll accept
Nothing.
Sexy.
How are you guys?
We're good.
Just feeling hanging sexy. Out.
Yeah, I'm feeling sexy now.
Awesome. You better be.
You're looking at it, dude. You're looking at it.
Am I?
Yeah.
You're looking okay as well.
It's the big Donald Duck hat you got on.
The clown outfit I'm wearing.
Oh, my God.
Leather clown outfit.
So how are you doing, love, anyway?
I'm doing good. Yeah.
Good.
I had a question for you guys about girls coming to your shows.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just saw you in Manhattan Beach the other night, and, like, my friends and I were dressed nice and whatever, and we're used to going to a lot of shows and either knowing people in the industry that get us in or whatever, and we get a lot of, like, garbage from other girls that just get jealous or whatever, and we were just wondering what you guys actually thought of girls that come to your shows, like, do you think they're all just easy, or, you know, the ones that are backstage?
No.
No?
That's a bit of a wild kind of, like, assumption to make just on seeing a girl.
Yeah.
You know?
Bit of a generalization and a stereotype of the olden day kind of, what they were called.
Yeah, I think it's pretty, you know, everybody kind of goes with the stereotype of if you're in a band, you must, you know, shag groupies and, you know, do drugs and do all this kind of stuff, just as if you're a girl backstage, you must be only there for one thing, which is...
Complete fabricated.
Yeah, it's not really true, because, I mean, there's so many people, there's so many women in the music industry now anyway. But I don't make any judgments till I kind of meet people. I know that's a cliche answer, but...
Good. Well, no, it's good to know, because, you know, it makes us feel a lot better not walking back and being like, oh, God, these guys are looking at us, you know?
I'd like to think that people are there because they like the music.
Yeah, definitely. Like, that's
a lot of times I'm disappointed. And it's just because of my looks.
No,
I'm just joking. Yeah, but sometimes they've gone to the wrong show. Mm. They just happen to be hanging backstage. They're looking for Fallout Boy.
All right, Katie, take care now, all right?
But yeah, it's good.
All righty. We're going to continue on. This is Kyle.
Hello?
Hey, Kyle. What's happening?
Hey, Kyle.
What's going on?
Lost Prophets. Ian Watkins, Jamie Oliver.
Like the chef from the UK.
How's it going over there, Manny?
Good.
Pretty good.
Cold.
The AC is blasting.
Yeah.
Hey, I was sitting down. I was actually at the Weenie Roast. It happened a while ago. I didn't get a chance to call in, though. I was sitting down Indian style, and when I stood up, my penis was asleep.
Nice.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Dude.
Sweet. Tingly and stuff like that. One second, and it got all tingly.
Here's what that is. That's your scrawny butt sitting on a hard seat. And
no,
you know
I'm sitting on the floor.
All right, on a hard floor. I beg your pardon.
I see we're sitting on a soft floor.
But you know how if you cross your legs for a while, your foot will go asleep? There's pressure on the foot. Okay. Same thing can happen in your pelvis. It can happen anywhere in your body. And so there's a nerve called the pudendal.
Extremity, the whole thing?
It's called the pudendal nerve, and it's right under your tush. And if you put pressure on there for more than 15 minutes, the whole area will go to sleep, including the penis. That's why guys that do a lot of bike riding get that. And actually, they can actually get damaged to that nerve and have trouble with erections and feelings and good things like that.
I've had it, but
Jamie used to bike ride.
Yeah. Oh, did you get it from biking?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's all the bikes are. All the seats are designed to prevent exactly that.
They've got like a little cup
the
in
hole in the middle. Yeah, yeah.
The new ones, but with a girl's bike I got, it kind of didn't.
Yeah.
Didn't
so Kyle, it's not. It's not. You're not the first guy whose penis fell asleep from sitting on a.
I've never had it.
Can you?
I'm gonna try.
Can you like if you hit that pressure point you were talking about, can that do like, you know, damage?
Yeah, it's a nerve. I mean, you can, of course. I mean, if you cut it, that's the end of it, you know.
Yeah. I fell on it once.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And things have not been good since?
No, it was I was on the surfboard, I kind of came off, landed, spread, you know. I thought I'd done more damage than I had.
You can damage all kinds of
things. Ran up the beach and thought that the rest of my body was still in the sea.
You were from the waist down. You were running.
From like the whole area and the rear.
You should have been checked out.
Yeah, it kind of went after about 3 or 4 weeks.
Jamie's been meaning to be checked.
No, about 10 minutes or so.
He's been meaning to be checked out for a while though.
Yeah, I do need to see somebody.
During the commercial break, Jennifer.
Hi, sorry. This is already my cousin got really nervous and she couldn't talk on the phone now.
And what's your name?
I'm Irene.
Jennifer, you're on with Lost Prophets.
Huh? I know. My cousin loves them. She flew in from Denver. We're in Orange right now, like, just to see them. We're going to drive up to San Francisco tomorrow.
Awesome.
Oh,
wow.
Cool. Look at that.
Yeah, here. I'm going to see if she'll talk to you guys. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Jennifer, first thing, turn your radio off so these guys can actually talk to you, okay? Go ahead. Okay, you're on with Lost Prophets. It's Ian and Jamie.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, not much. How are you guys?
We good. Yeah, just hanging out in the studio.
I think Jennifer's
people.
Your biggest fan. I do. I think this is her.
So you're coming up to San Francisco, yeah?
Well, I actually flew to Orange from Colorado.
Wow.
Orange County.
And we're driving to San Francisco.
Tonight?
What?
Tonight?
Tomorrow night at, midnight.
Shouldn't they come by the station and get your autograph at least since they've just mailed it from Denver?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Irene. Thank you, Irene.
Bye,
goodbye.
Man.
It's okay.
No, thanks.
Jennifer sounds like she is into you guys. And she deserves an autograph.
Yeah, no, she can. She comes by.
Really?
Yes, definitely.
Where is the station at?
Love Island.
All right, you know, Anderson and his crew are going to help you out with that. So but at the gate. She will not be the only one standing at the gate when we leave here. I can tell.
It's late.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, when you leave, prepare yourself. Okay, the phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. This is Loveline. They are the Lost Prophets, and we will be right back. Back to Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191. Lost Prophets in here with us tonight. Jamie Oliver, keyboard. Ian Watkin, lead vocals. And here
arena
is...
arena performer.
Now, Anderson, is this R. Pavel?
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, man. You guys keep putting him on. All right. Prepare yourselves. Pavel.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, buddy. You're on with Lost Prophets.
Yeah, I have a question.
You do have a question for them. I'm shocked. And here you go.
Shoot.
Yeah, do you have any CDs or anything that came out?
Do you have any CDs?
Yeah, we have two out currently, and our third one is just about to come out, if that's what you just asked me.
Pavel's our William Hung, was that the guy's name? Yeah, Pavel's our William Hung.
Awesome.
Yeah.
He's from Eastern Europe, and he has bizarre questions that entertain all of us.
Entertain you and the screeners.
I thought he asked if you had STDs. That's what I
know. He has. Do you have any CDs?
But we have STDs too, if you want.
Yeah. Strange you should ask.
You're welcome to them.
They have a new CD coming out on June 27th called Liberation Transmission, and a single called Rooftop coming out on June 19th. Rooftops. Which we're going to hear in about 10 minutes, matter of fact.
Yeah.
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 Okay, Mr. Energy?
What kind is it? Is it
Iraq
or something?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's Iraq. Yeah.
You'll find out in 10 minutes, Bubble.
Yeah. 10 minutes.
Yeah. Wait 10 minutes. All your questions will be answered.
So energized, it's gonna be hard to sit still during that 10 minute wait.
Hold your breath for 10 minutes.
Just here's a little sample for you, Bubble.
Okay.
And that's the heavy bit. That's the breakdown.
How's school
many,
going?
How many times I can call you?
How many times can you call us?
Yeah.
Evidently, judging by Anderson's response to you, whenever, whatever,
why
as
is it
many
my
times,
response, Drew? I didn't put him on.
He has his own line.
Lance, is it you?
It's what? All Lance.
No.
Is it Patricia who's clapping? Who is it?
It's a Lance. It's a Lance thing, for sure.
Lance thing.
Nice one, Lance. So, thanks, mate.
So, Pavel, next time when you call, you ask for Lance, okay?
By who?
Lance. You ask for Lance, and he'll make sure you get on the air, okay?
Oh, yeah. When is it going to be on?
Yeah, I'm tired.
Tonight, Sarah.
Yeah. What's going on, Sarah?
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi,
hey, Sarah.
I had a question about anal sex.
Cool.
I've been with my boyfriend now for about a year, and we're wanting to experiment, and we're wondering of less painful way.
Huh? How about the penis in the vagina?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, yeah. How about normal sex?
Yeah, that's less painful. And Anderson's advocating alcohol, but I am just terribly concerned about people that insist on anal sex even when it's painful. And, you know, I thought about, as much as I didn't like Brokeback Mountain, I thought to myself, well, maybe that the way they portrayed the way he behaved towards his wife, they sort of implied that the fact that he wanted to have sort of doggy style or anal sex with his wife meant he was gay. So guys, just think about what that might mean. Maybe you won't want to have anal sex.
You say that. Jamie says this is the very same thing.
To you, Ian.
Well, the reality is it doesn't mean anything like that, but I thought maybe that will market it, that it's something that people should, I think twice about. But look, if it hurts, and if you really, it's something you really want to try, fine.
Have you ever done it before?
We tried it before, but it was just really too painful.
Right. So why do you want to do it again if it was painful?
I don't know, just to experience it.
Well,
you tried it. It's painful.
Well, give it one more shot. And if it's painful a second time, then there you go.
Everything is not for everybody.
Yeah,
and there are some people for whom this is quite comfortable and pleasurable. Those are the people that's meant to be doing this.
Yeah.
People for whom it hurts and is a bad idea, who's going to have fissures and tears and prolapse, all kinds of lovely things.
No.
That's your body telling you not to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
And by the way, do you have asthma or cystic fibrosis or something?
Yeah, I have asthma.
Yeah, I mean, your asthma is very active right now. Why don't you take care of that?
Okay.
I can hear it over the phone, for crying out loud. What are you using, inhalers?
Yeah, I use inhalers.
What are you using?
Albuterol.
No, you need a steroid inhaler, too. So talk to your doctor about some Advair or Flovan or Pulmicort or something like that. You're not even taking care of that properly, okay? Let's take care of yourself here.
You're
busy punishing yourself. Let's take care of the asthma, because asthma can break down and become emphysema if you leave it out of control long enough. Ashley.
Hi. I had a question. My boyfriend has a foot fetish, and he was telling me that he looks at other people's feet, and I always found myself getting jealous. Like, how should I react towards that?
That's awesome. Women get jealous of everything and anything.
Yeah, you know what? It's because you're female. No, and I don't mean that in a sexist way, but it's just the thing.
Very competitive. They're very competitive at your age. Other girls have better feet than me, or just feet.
Can you have better feet? What are better feet? What constitutes a better foot?
No calluses.
Okay.
Got to get one of these fetish guys in here to explain.
But, is he, is he looking in that much detail for calluses?
He's a fetish. Feet. They examine the hell out of them.
I'm so jealous of those guys, Drew.
I know. It'd be nice, wouldn't
just
it?
Just go to the beach and it'd be like porn everywhere.
Yeah.
I
can see the principle of the thing is that he's looking at other people's feet, even though I guess most people wouldn't see feet as a sexual object. Maybe he is, so there is that element of jealousy there, but then I don't know.
Yeah, but he looks at other people's feet and it makes me insecure.
Why? Because you think your
feet are too small?
Yeah.
I think mine is ugly.
Yeah, but does he like your feet?
He says he does.
Right, that's so all counts, right?
He's not gonna, if he does, don't quit. Yeah, there's no.
He's picked you, guys. Yeah. Guys are with you because they're into you. That's he's there.
He's not going out with you because he has to or someone paid him. He's going out with you because he wants
it's
to go out.
It's very
with you.
Hard to make guys do things they don't want to do, and it's very hard to stop them from doing things they want to do. And it really is. Men are driven, and he's there because he likes you, Ashley, and he likes your feet. So relax, okay. How old is this guy? I'm thinking 19.
17.
Yeah.
feed it.
All right, cool. just it's fine. You relax. This is Amin.
Hi, I have one request and two questions. Is that too much?
No, go ahead.
Okay, well, the first request is from Anderson. I was wondering if you could do the what I say prolapse thing that just cracked me.
Okay, maybe after your
what I say, what I say, what I said, I got feelings for you. Can I prolapse your anus?
That's for all of you contemplating the anal sex. And?
Okay, I called last night with the schizophrenic mother with OCD.
Yeah.
And I have OCD. And this morning she, I think, I don't know if it was her or her schizophrenia, but she kicked me out of the house and said I couldn't come back.
Wow.
And then...
Where are you staying now?
I'm on a public street in Starbucks right now, and I'm charging my cell phone.
Why don't you go to a shelter or call social services?
Because I don't really know too much about that.
You call Child Protective Services. Just call 411 or whatever. Call.
Well, sure, the people here got the number or something.
Yeah, but listen, let me get this number out. You're calling
Sarah. Yeah, because, I like my mom, and I kind of want to live with her, but the schizophrenia is just gets in the way.
Is she being treated for it?
No, she's not.
And that's what's horrible. It's out of control.
Yeah.
Yes, she thinks she's going to get over it herself, and I know she's wrong, and she needs to get treated. And I can't stay at a friend's house or anything, because I'm not very social, so I'm not very good at making friends.
Okay, how old are you?
I'm 13.
That is just
awful. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I mean, I'm trying to come up with some numbers for you here. Hold on.
And my second question is, I have a cut on my scrotum, and it's not, like, bleeding or deep or anything, but it also, it's, like, kind of wet right there, and kind of a little, like, wet and has a faint smell.
A what and smell?
Like a faint smell. You can barely smell it, but it's just kind of a look. Not wondering what that is.
He's like a tapestry of all our callers.
Yeah, he really is. Hot, clean soap and water, let it dry out, maybe some hot compresses, but you want to clean and dry right now.
He's in Berkeley, Drew. There's got to be a ton of, hippie shelters up there.
Yeah, I know, and I look at our referral numbers here. We just don't have anything good like that, strangely, in San Francisco. Hang on here. I'm looking for more in our sort of general numbers. God.
Do you see a bunch of Priuses driving by as you sit out on the street?
Yeah.
There's too much smug for that, Anderson.
A lot of Harvard.
Yeah. Okay, I've got some crisis line.
How'd you cut your scrotum?
I can get a pencil from the desk at Starbucks.
This is a number. It's easy as heck to remember. Ready?
Okay. Yeah.
800-999-9999. Okay. 1-800-ALL-9s.
Okay.
Okay,
really appreciate it.
And if that doesn't work out, try 1-800-CHILDREN.
Okay, and should I continue to go to school, or?
Buddy, listen. First things first. Just call one of these helplines. Let's get a referral to a service in your area.
Yeah, call them and explain your situation.
And then call me back tomorrow night. Let me know how you're doing, will you?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, buddy. Good luck.
You got to find out how he cut his scrotum.
No, tomorrow night when we talk to him. And by the way, Lance, give me a meet tomorrow night, not Pavel. Okay. Thank you.
It's Pavel.
Pavel. I beg your pardon. All right. Thank you. I want to hear a Lost Prophet song. How about that?
Woo-hoo.
All right. Thank you. Lost Prophets. This song is called Rooftops. It is their new CD. It's coming out 19th of June. It's off the new CD called Liberation Transmission, which will be available on 27th. Do you launch a world tour or a national tour right at that point?
We start a UK tour in July. At the moment, we're kind of just doing, a promotional tour, doing acoustic stuff.
And he and I were talking just during the commercial break that it's really a miracle this CD ever got made, because they were holed up at a house in Maui, right? Yeah. Can I talk about this?
Yeah.
Producing this thing, and it's just like, I'm surprised you didn't take 7 years to do it. How much better is it going to get for you guys?
Well, the next
one. Tour bus for the next 10 years.
That's the mistake we made. We just did it too quickly.
Right. So tell us, you go ahead and send us out to Rooftops.
This is the first single off the new record. This is called Rooftops.
When I die,
vocals, Jamie Oliver on keyboard. They're in here tonight. Well done, gentlemen. Tomorrow night we got Dane Cook, then Jamie Kennedy, but right now it's Lost Prophets, and we will take a break and be right back.
Here we are back on Love Line, and I have to paint a picture of what's happening here right now.
Ian recalled having looked at our general reconstruction book last time he was here, so he asked for it. He called for it, in fact, and we dutifully brought it out.
I want to see the book.
He called for his pipe and his penile prosthesis book, and we brought it out. And open to a place where they're treating microphallus by rebuilding a penis or creating a penis out of the forearm of a young man who was a...
Oh, that's a and, big penis.
And when he brought it out, Jamie vomited. And he became...
In my mouth.
And he dissociated. He looked like he was having an out-of-body experience when he started looking at these pictures. And
it's still, unbelievable.
And he still can't take his eyes off it.
I can't look away. I cannot look away.
But Ian, you see him. At least you've got a smile. Jamie, look, that's just blank.
Jamie's white.
Yeah,
who's Jamie?
Blank,
yeah.
Blank. Yeah, who's Jamie? Oh, very funny.
Oh,
all right, Liberation Transmission is the new CD. It's out on June 27th. These guys will still be sitting here staring at these pictures. And then June 19th is a single, which you just heard on a world premiere here on Loveline. It's called Rooftops, and this is John. John.
Yeah, sorry.
Hi, John. What's up?
Hi, John.
I put it here on speaker while I was on hold.
That's fine.
How you doing?
Good, we're good. What's happening?
Oh, am I on?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. John, you're on. But
you're on with us, the Microphallus gang.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Not bad, you know. We're just hanging out, chilling out, looking at medical books. How are you doing, John? You good?
Entirely too much fun.
Yeah.
As always.
Well, you know, we try and have the best.
What's the
question? Make the most of life.
Well, hey Drew, I have a serious question. I have a buddy of mine who's about 32, and a serious alcoholic.
Okay.
And, you know, I've had the conversations with him. Hey, bud, you know, you have a problem. You know, the normal things friends do. But I'm thinking, I've heard good stuff about interventions. I haven't heard any bad stuff. I was wondering what you thought on the subject.
Well, first of all, what does he say when you sort of suggest to him maybe treatment would be a good idea?
Well, he busts out with, I know I have a problem. You know, the whole appeasement.
Right, I can handle it. And by the way, for everyone who says getting people to recognize as a problem is three-quarter... No, that's BS. It's easy today to get people to say they have a problem. The hard part is getting them to do something about it. And the fact is, if you're at the point where there are consequences sufficient to cause your friends and family to start saying you got to do something, you got to do something. And it's not something you're going to be able to do on your own. You have to do with treatment. So intervention depends on the interventionist. You should check out to see what their success rate has been. I know interventionists that have 96% success rate with getting people.
Interventionists, sorry?
It's where they basically gather the important people together in that person's life. They script a ambush, basically, and each of them reads their script to the person. And for a male, John, it turns out the most important thing person is the employer. If you get the employer to participate in that, then you've got a lot of leverage. And
really?
That's it, yeah. So check with the success rate of the interventionist to make sure it's somebody with a lot of training, a lot of experience. And do it. You may not have to do that, though. Just whatever leverage you have, use it. Again, if you have the employer on your side who recognizes there's a problem, use the employer because they can often leverage males into treatment, particularly.
Let me give you a little background so you have a little idea of who I'm talking about here. This guy is 32. He slept with one girl his entire life, and he was with her for 4 months, and he lost his virginity at 25. He has a huge confidence problem. He lives with his father. He's financially stable enough to buy a home on his own in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. And, he has, like, financial security. He's extremely crafty with his hands. I mean, he can build almost anything.
Look, it's difficult to leverage guys in that don't have a lot of serious consequences. I would suggest you call Dr. David Smith at the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic, okay?
Haight-Ashbury.
A Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic, David Smith.
Okay.
See what recommendations he has up there, all right?
All right, hey, thanks a lot, man.
All right, there you go.
Cool, thanks.
Okay. This, wrong one. This is Rachel.
Hello.
Hi, Rachel.
Hey, Rachel.
Hey, Rachel.
Hi.
You were on with Lost Prophets.
Okay, so I have this problem. I've been with this guy, my boyfriend, for about 2 years, and everything's been fine, the sex has been good, whatever. And, like, we've always had,
good
like,
stuff.
Kind of problems here and there. And just, like, lately it's been really bad. Like, we haven't been getting along very well. And, I don't know, when we have sex, like,
I enjoy it, but then there's times during the sex where I feel like I want to cry or something. Like, I don't cry. I just feel like I want to. I don't know. It's really weird, and I have to, like, change
We've all
my
been
mind
enough.
To something else. I'm sorry?
Well, the relationship is not going well when you're trying to be close with somebody who you feel maybe harbors resentments or makes you feel abused or objectified, or you know that you don't have the same kind of feelings for you used to. Of course, those feelings can be very acute. And yes, juxtaposed against how you should feel, it can be very uncomfortable and people often cry.
But is it anything he's doing that's making you cry, or is it just your feelings kind of a bit mixed up?
I don't know. No.
Is he doing anything to make you unhappy, or is it just, like I say, you...
Well, he said they're having a horrible time in their relationship.
In the relationship, like, is he doing anything, or is it just that they're having a horrible time because they're not getting on, and it's not one person is doing, it's just kind of...
Thing is over.
Yeah.
And you feel it when you're trying to be close with somebody.
Or you're trying to make it work, and it's kind of not, and you just kind of...
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. I think we both think it's kind of over, but then, like, when one of us tries to end it, it's like the other one always comes, like, running back to it, you know?
Yeah, so that's the total knee-jerk reaction anyway, you know, because it's obviously hard to give up something you've been with for 2 years, because that's all you've known, you know, right. So it is kind of scary. And the knee-jerk reaction is to be like, no, I'm not sure if I want to
live. At 28, this relationship wouldn't go 2 weeks, because you know much more of the signs of a relationship being over. You know how to end it, and you do end it.
Yeah.
It's a two-year relationship. It starts at 18. You don't feel like it's trying to get rid of a family member or something.
Well.
Yeah, you don't know how to handle it. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. It's Lost Prophets. Ian and Jamie, they will be here. We'll be right back. More calls from you after this. LOVE-191 Lost Prophets in here tonight. Ian Watkins, lead vocal. Jamie Oliver, just like the chef.
Hello.
Keyboards tomorrow night. Dane Cook, then Jamie Kennedy on the next night. So keep listening to Love Line. But tonight it's Lost Prophets, and then we are going to first speak to. Let's talk to Frank. Hey Frank.
Yeah.
Hey Frank.
Hey Frank.
Mr. Excitement, let's go, Frank.
I want to ask the singer something.
Yeah.
Of Lost. Have you ever done something, like, so crazy on stage that you really regret about it? Like...
off the top of my head, I don't think so. No.
Okay.
Like, I've had stuff happen to me that I wish didn't happen.
Like what?
Like guitarist. Oh, guitarist.
Like, guitarist. I wish he didn't have him.
Yeah.
No. You're going to answer for me.
Yeah.
Or can I answer myself?
No, but Mike and his tendency for retaliation.
I'm just going to say our drummer walking off stage mid-song.
Well, Mike knocked, give you a bloody nose. And
yeah, that was just kind of, maybe
split your head open as well.
Why?
What was us do?
Why did the drummer walk off stage?
Why did you split your head open?
Oh, it's just...
accidents. And
yeah, Mike's hitting... guitar heads hit in my head, and
but I'm a guitarist.
But I don't think I've done anything I shouldn't have done that, you know, or I shouldn't have said.
I remember. What? No, when you separated the crowd in red,
yes.
80,000 people, and you went. You tell
we used to do this thing, and a lot of bands do it now. But we used to do the thing called the Wall of Death, quote unquote, which we renamed to the Wall of Fun for legal reasons. But basically, you split the crowd in two, so kind of like Braveheart.
Yeah,
and then you count down. And then the crowd run at each other.
Oh.
Yeah. And
it's kind of cool in a club of 200 people.
Obviously, when we started out, we used to play in clubs. And we played the Reading Festival 2004 to 80,000 people. Hmm. And looking back now, and we have a video of it, and I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And it scares me that I actually did it. But we separated 80,000 people with a line down the middle. And
how much space?
About 20 feet.
20 feet.
Yeah.
Okay, 10, 20 feet.
And this is 80,000 people now. Like, it's...
All the way down.
Yeah,
all the way down. Right down.
And when the song kicks in, you know, you explain to them, and I put this kind of, like, everybody look after each other.
I remember I looked at you, and I was like, everybody else in the
band was like, no. And our tour manager was like, lawsuit. This is, you know, if anything goes wrong. But I was kind of in the moment, like, yeah. You know, there was TV cameras or whatever. And I explained, you know, when the song kicks in, all run at each other and yay, party. The song kicked in, everyone ran at each other, but obviously when they ran at each other, they stopped and everybody kept running.
And they just went.
And it just kind of went.
They didn't fall over. Yeah, they kind of got
luckily,
pushed up.
Yeah, it went up and nobody got hurt and it was fine and everyone was like, "Oh, dude, that was sick."
And that was the last time we did it.
And at the time I was like, everyone was high on adrenaline. But when we watched the video back now, I guess scared watching it, thinking that could have gone so wrong.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah, I guess. You know, and I'll never do it again, ever, because I don't think, not that you could better that, but it's just it's kind of a weird thing to do, I guess. I don't know. So yeah, prank.
There you go. This now is Christy, 18. Christy.
Hi.
Hey, love. Hello.
Hey, Christy.
Hi. Well, my question for you is, do you think it's wrong that I am dating a 31-year-old?
How old are you?
I'm 18.
It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong.
It's not wrong in it. I don't mean to pass any judgments about right and wrong, but I can tell you for sure it is horrible for you. Horrible. There's a bad guy taking advantage of you. 31 and 18, not a good guy.
I know someone. I got friends.
We're not having
31 and 18?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah.
We're not having sex.
Good guys?
I don't know.
No, not good guys.
I don't know him.
That's exploitative of the young women. That's think about it. Think about when this girl's 31, how she's going to feel about her peers who date 18-year-olds.
Hmm.
Yuck. So, what?
Yeah.
What about a mature 18-year-old and an immature 31-year-old male?
With a 31-year-old male with the mind of an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
Now, how come you're dating him? Like, is he a good friend of yours? How did you meet him?
Yeah. He was a good friend of one of my friends.
Right.
What does he do for a living?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
there it is.
Good times.
There's the rub.
Good times. Christy, what are you doing?
I don't know. Well, I really like him.
Oh, please.
And he is.
How bad are things at home?
Right now, they're stable. Right now.
How were they before?
Bad.
What was the problem?
Just, I didn't get along with my parents.
What, was your dad an alcoholic or something?
No. I don't know my dad, actually.
Okay. What happened when he left?
Hmm?
How old were you when he left, and why did he leave?
Well, my mom doesn't know who he is, so
I don't know.
Yeah.
And then is there a male living in the house now?
Yeah, my stepdad. I've never gotten along with him for the last 15 years.
Does he hit you?
He has before, yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. So, physical abuse in the home, chaos, looking for somebody to rescue you as some sort of life preserver, and you'll go for any port in the storm, and you found this jack-off who doesn't have a job, who's 15 years older than you are. Come on. Do something good for yourself, Chris. You go to school, get out of the house, get a job somewhere, get away, that's fine, but do it on your own terms, okay?
Okay.
All right, good luck now. Oh. Charlie, cheer us up, buddy.
Hello, Dr. Dre.
Oh, Charlie, where are you from?
I'm from London.
This is a fake. This is a fake accent.
You're not from London, man.
Not even close.
Okay, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, no kidding.
Oh, watch ya.
My American British accent.
It wasn't very good, but nice try.
Yeah, it wasn't.
A for effort.
Yeah.
Okay, can I still say my limerick?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Once was a man named Dr. Drew. Solving problems for people is what he loves to do. He doesn't like when people call in with stupid questions, and he tells them to get a clue.
So then he really must hate you.
That's awesome, Charlie, but give me about 6 more verses, and we'll put you back on.
It needs a punchline.
It needs a payoff. It's awesome. Yeah, You're on the right track.
Yeah.
Keep going.
This
now is Gary.
Oh, hey. I just wanted to say, Drew, I listen to you all the time. You know, you're awesome. You're very knowledgeable.
Thanks, Gary.
I have a question. Like, when I'm with a girl, like, I get used to her, sort of, like, you know, having sex with her and everything. But when I go, like, to have sex with another girl, I can't, like, ever... It takes me, like, a long time to get, like, a hard-on and, you know.
Just nerves, is it?
Yeah, right. Yeah. You nervous?
I'm not really nervous. The thing is, like, I seriously, like, get used to having sex with a girl, and, like, whenever I, like, change to a different girl, I could be, like, totally, like, man, she's hot, I really, like, want a boner, you know, but...
Pressure, nerves, and it's about being comfortable with somebody as well. When you're with somebody for a long period of time, or any sort of period of time, you feel more comfortable with them, and you can, I guess, perform is the wrong term to use, but you can, you know, you do a better job.
You're just comfortable, you know, and then when there's a new person, you don't know anything about them, and you're like Jamie said, there's that pressure thing, and especially when you're a guy, you know, like, in the kind of modern world, like, the whole... Like, women have put so much emphasis in the battle to kind of regain their sexual rights. They kind of, you know, put the pressure on the male then, to, you know, to the penis size and to, you know, to get your penis hard, and then how long do you last, and was he, you know, good and stuff like that. And I guess women don't have any of those pressures because,
kinds of pressures.
Yeah, they have different kinds of pressures, but actually in the act, you know, and because of that, I think subconsciously, every guy kind of thinks of that when they're having sex with someone new, you know, and there is that so many like hurdles to overcome.
Mm.
You know, firstly, you got to kind of get your penis erect, you know, then you got to kind of.
And then you start thinking about it. And when you start thinking about it, all the blood is in your head and not in the place that it's supposed to be. So, you know, just kind of need to relax, get to know the person a bit more, get comfortable and confident with, you know.
Anxiety is what shuts you down. And if you're nervous it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Or
the problem.
Or like take Viagra or something.
Does that. Christine.
Oh, hi.
Hey,
hi. Hey, love.
Hi. I had a question about eating disorders, because I know kind of the whole setup with anorexia and bulimia and all the long-term side effects, but like, with using laxatives, I know the obvious side effects, but is there any long-term? I mean, I'm not going to have like a heart attack, or I'm not going to...
Yes, you definitely can.
Oh.
There's multiple very serious problems with chronic laxative use. One is electrolyte problems can lead to heart standstill, heart attacks, for sure.
Oh.
Secondly, I've had patients that actually had to have their colons removed because it didn't function anymore, just was complete standstill, and the only way they could get, they had to have a colostomy.
Oh.
You can start getting kidney failure from the drive on the tubules that are put from a chronic laxative use. And then when you stop, your legs will swell up like crazy. You get these huge edematous legs for about 6 months afterwards.
Why would you use laxative? Is that people a viable term for diet?
No, you basically, it isn't. But because it's a chronic stress on your body, it's all you're doing is holding water in your colon. So you're getting chronically dehydrated. And that's why people get kidney problems from this. You're chronically dehydrated, and that's a stress on your system. So you're basically constantly ill. And as a result of that, you don't put weight on. But it has nothing to do with things coming out of your stool.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with that.
Is it like...
You're just chronically ill.
Myth that it works.
No, it does work because you're so sick. You're so ill from the stress on your body.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not flushing out fat.
No, you're not flushing anything out.
You know?
Well, diarrhea just means there's too much water in your stool.
Yeah.
So all this is doing is making you chronically dehydrated. It has nothing to do with the absorption of food.
Well,
yeah, okay. So knock that one on the head.
Well, I guess in an effective way, it feels effective, I guess, to me.
Yeah, because you're chronically ill from it. You're chronically sick from it. Now, you before you get life-threatening complications, get your eating disorder treated, okay?
Yeah, I guess that could be an answer.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, I guess so. Okay.
I put Christine?
Yeah.
I put too many young women in boxes around this condition.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In boxes, in the ground. Let's take it seriously, all right?
Okay.
All right. This is Marie. Good times.
Yeah.
Marie?
Hello.
What's happening?
Hey, Marie.
Nothing.
You chilling?
I have a question about prenatal vitamins. I'm not pregnant, but I heard that they make your hair grow faster or something.
No, no.
That's not true?
No. And in fact, there's a lot of iron in them, and that if you can actually get iron overload from that, so be very, very careful with
it. Can that, like, affect your mood or anything?
No. What's the matter? What's going on?
Nothing. I've just been having mood swings lately. I don't know what they're from or anything.
Are you taking the tablets now?
Yeah. I've been taking them for about a week.
No, that won't do it.
Okay.
Just to grow your hair?
Yeah.
What's wrong with your hair?
Yeah.
I heard you have to grow your hair grow faster. I don't know.
Yeah,
no.
Why do you want to grow your hair so fast?
Your hair grows fast when you're pregnant because you're flooded with hormones.
Well, I'm not pregnant.
I'm saying the reason the pregnant woman's hair grows fast is not the prenatal vitamins. It's that she's flooded with hormones and everything grows faster.
Why'd you want to grow your hair fast?
Because I cut it and it gets to one point, like, around my shoulders and it just stops growing and I don't want to get extensions.
There's nothing you can do about that.
But being a girl, you've got the added bonus that you can do cool things with it. Like, you can put it up in hair ties and clips. And trust me, being a guy and trying to grow your hair sucks. Because there's nothing
like
you can do.
Guys' hair grows so much faster, though.
Huh?
Seems like guy hair grows so much faster.
No, it's the grass is always greener on the other side. I mean, it just looks like it's growing faster.
No, that's true. Yeah. I have another question.
Mm-hmm.
I've been with my boyfriend for about a year, and just, like, the past month, I've noticed right around the head of his penis only, it just looks like little tiny, tiny, tiny white heads, and I just didn't know what it was or if it was anything serious.
Shannon, do you know what that is?
What?
See if I can find some pictures
Herpes?
Of this.
Herpes?
No. Thrush. Keep going. Guessing.
Thrush?
No.
Syphilis.
That's called the...
Scurvy.
No.
What?
That's called the pearly penile papules.
What
and
they are,
and they're just completely normal. They're just little clogged up follicles.
Okay.
Pearly good. Penile papules. I'm looking for pictures of them for the boys.
PPP.
These guys seem to love the pictures of the peni so much.
Colonel Poppy.
Colonel Papple.
Colonel People Papple.
Pearly penile papules.
What? Were they there before, or
no,
did they just appear?
They just showed up like the past month or so.
Do they do that? They show.
They
up?
Can come and go, but you're basically examining things the last month. More,
okay.
Probably more than anything.
Okay,
no, I can't find any pictures of these guys. Very disappointing. I'm sorry,
Chafin.
Gentlemen. Sorry.
It doesn't look
gross
or anything. It just looks like little bumps or something. Not
yeah, it's little
tiny
follicles.
Ones.
Yep.
Okay, good. Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay, bye.
He's clean. This is Clarissa.
Hello.
Hi, Clarissa. Hope you learned something about the pearly penile papule.
And I was worried there for a second.
My friend will be very happy.
My friend will be very happy with that news.
Your friend with the sweaty crevasse?
Yeah. I'm just going to call him now.
What was the other thing we learned about your friend? Oh, the penis gets numb and he gets sweaty. There was another thing about the friend during the break we heard. I forget what it was now. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's got a lot of problems.
Clarissa, what's happening?
Huh?
Hey, Clarissa, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Awesome.
How can we help?
About a month ago, I told my friends I was suicidal, and they all went off like, oh, no, you're not. There's no way you're possibly suicidal, and all that. And it got into a big argument, and they told me I wasn't a good friend and not worth knowing. They haven't talked to me since that fight. I was just wondering if next year I should go to a different school.
Why did you tell him you were suicidal in the first place?
Because I thought I was.
Usually, I think, I don't know our experience, but usually if people are really suicidal, they just kind of commit suicide rather than tell people beforehand. Usually telling people is...
A call for help.
Yeah, it just means you're just very kind of depressed and very... I think maybe you were telling them because you wanted maybe, you know, more attention from them, do you think? Or, you know, you wanted them to look after you or...
I was having thoughts of suicide. That's how come I told them.
Why didn't you tell your parents or tell your doctor?
Yeah.
I told my parents after the fight because my nana had tried to commit suicide and I knew how it affected the family. I just wasn't for sure if I should tell them yet.
Okay, what can we do for you tonight? How can we help?
You think do you want to know if you want to go to another school or not?
Yeah, to get away because... I've known them since, like, the fifth grade, and all I've had with them is just drama, and this right here is just, like, I'm fed up with all the drama, and them all together, I was just wondering if I should go to another school.
Is moving to a school, another school, like, a viable option, though? Is it possible, or would it be just a lot of, kind of, like, uprooting and a lot of, would it be more hassle to move to another school than just to deal with this problem?
I don't know.
Hey, Clarissa, do you have a psychiatrist or a therapist now?
I have both.
Okay, and have you been psychiatrically hospitalized before?
No, I came close though.
Okay, have they been told you have like a personality disorder?
No.
They've not mentioned that term before?
No.
Do you tend to have a lot of chaos in your life? A lot of drama?
Yes.
And what happened in your family of origin? Was there a lot of problems there?
No. Besides that, me and my dad fight every now and then.
Everyone does that. Right?
But does it get real bad?
Sometimes.
Does he hit you?
No, not that bad.
Not that bad. Well, all I know is I hear a lot of this is not to be negative about you or to make you feel bad, but you, and you're not aware of it, you're 15, but you're going to need to work on things. And changing schools and doing a geographic is not going to help you change things. You're going to bring the trouble with you. The hostility you have comes through loud and clear to me. And the drama, the moment you picked up the phone, I could hear it. So this isn't about your friends. It's about what's inside you and what you create around you. Let's work on changing that. Find some boring friends. Find some people that actually care about you and keep them around. Okay. Don't worry about the drama. Just let that go. And if you can't, more intensive therapy or maybe some 12-step group, something like that, something to help you let go and create behavior change. But something is really going on here, and at your age, it's time to change it.
Okay.
And changing schools is only going to be more drama somewhere else. I suspect. Okay? There are people that care about you, Clarissa. Keep them around.
I will.
All right. People are not all bad. I know you don't trust people right now, and I know you're angry. I hear it, and I feel it. But it doesn't have to be that way, okay?
Okay.
You don't trust people, do you?
Some people I don't trust.
Learn to keep who you keep around. Keep it boring and calm. Get through all this, okay?
Okay.
All right. She has a thing.
Right.
It's kind of how she makes, one of the things that happens when you do, I work in mental health a lot, and you sort of learn how certain personality problems make you feel. She has a certain feeling. And at 15, she can change all that.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a life sentence, but right. Her starting to jump schools and all that could just create more trouble. So let's talk to Lil Bob.
What it is, guys, what it is.
What's happening,
not
bud.
Much yourself. I just got a little bit, I got a better rap than a couple callers before.
Thank you.
So, okay, here we go. Yo, this is what I have to say. This is Lost Prophets, but you can call it Dre. They take lots of calls like every day, and the people that don't like it can go away. I got little prophets Lost Prophets in the palm of my hand. Now I can make a tight fist and let it crumble ridiculous, or I can smack the world with their big old fists. Just want to give a shout out to all my friends in Newport Beach. Thank you for having me on the show. Have a good night, guys.
But why ain't you got no play, player? All right, Bob. Thanks. This is Sandy. Sandy?
Yes?
Hey there.
Yeah. Cool.
What's happening?
Jamie liked that.
Here we go, Sandy. Stop listening to the radio. Everyone, turn your radio off if you're on hold right now. We get on this show.
Okay.
Sandy, here we go. Sandy, what's happening? Sandy, turn your radio off or I'm hanging up. Ready?
No, I already turned it off.
Okay, good. Here we go.
Yeah, I have this boyfriend. We have been dating for kind of 3 years. And
come on.
Put it out there, Sandy.
And for 3 years, but things are not well. And because of his lack of commitment, and he also doesn't have sex with me. We just have sex once a month. And
how often do you see him?
Yes, I see him.
How often?
Twice a week, maybe.
And how come so little?
I do not know. He won't say anything.
Hey, Drew, she's calling from Tijuana. He's probably up here most of the time.
I get it. Oh, I mean, is he from the United States?
No, we're from Mexico.
No, but he probably comes up here for work, if you know.
No. We both live in Mexico.
Okay. Sandy, like with any relationship, if people are not telling you what their intentions are, what the relationship means to them, and it's not going the right direction, you have different expectations, if he won't communicate with you about what he's actually up to, that's not a relationship.
Yeah.
That's misery. That's sort of a chase or something. I don't know what that is. You've been dating 3 years. Yeah, it's a game. You've been dating 3 years. You only see him twice a week, and yet you want to see him more often. You have sex once a month, but you want to have sex every day.
Why are you even going out with him?
Yeah, what is in it for you?
Yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah, free yourself up.
Well, he's a very, really nice guy, and he's very decent, and he
there's loads of decent guys.
He really takes care of me, like a person, he's a very good person, but he, like a boyfriend, It
sounds awful.
Good.
Sounds like a part-time.
Yeah,
I think if
it sounds like he's got another life somewhere else.
Yeah,
frankly,
if you have to call up, a radio station and ask, then it's not going right. You know,
no,
you should
it really
you should talk to him about this. And
I totally agree.
There's no cookies in my box.
We're gonna take a little break here. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Lost Prophets in here. Ian Watkins, lead vocal, Jamie Oliver, keyboard. Tomorrow night, Dane Cook and Jamie Kennedy on the following night, so keep listening. We are going to hear a song from the previous CD called Last Train Home, but we're going to do that during the next break.
Cool.
So in the meantime, Dr. Drew and Lost Prophets, we'll take a little break. Be right back.
There's no cookies in my box.
Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191. Lost Prophets in here. New CD coming out June 27th.
Thank you, good day, dude.
It's called Liberation Transmission. They've got a single coming out on June 19th, which was premiered on this show tonight, I guess. Or maybe Boise premiered. I don't know. And we're going to hear Last Train Home from the previous CD, the 2003 CD. But first, we're going to take a few calls. This now is Angie.
Yeah.
Angie.
Hey, Angie.
Hey. Hello.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
Good.
I have a quick couple questions.
All right.
One of them, the most important one is that I was just wondering if, all girls, pussy tastes the same, because I had an experience on one, and it doesn't taste the same as mine. So with my boyfriend, I'm, really insecure for him to go down on me.
No, is the answer. They do not all taste the same.
That's where rocks are. Rockstar.
Believe me, I should know.
I wouldn't have any idea.
Would
your sweaty friend have any?
But my sweaty friend. No, they don't. Some are nice. Some are kind of metallic.
It depends on cleanliness as well. You know what I mean?
I guess.
Obviously,
I would know.
Not really. It's actually an issue of not about hygiene. It's about what bacteria happen to grow in you.
Yeah.
And, there we go.
And sometimes the bacterial overgrowth can be treated, can be changed. Sometimes.
But what I mean is
if you leave the bacteria for about 2 weeks.
No, because I was I'm so insecure, and I went to my OBGYN, and I'm dude, I have an infection or something. She's like, no, you're okay. And I'm like, no, it's not.
How do you know what you was going on with you?
Huh?
Did somebody tell you that you didn't taste good?
No, I taste
She's
myself.
She's really flexible.
And you didn't like it?
And I didn't like it, but I was curious, so I ate some other girl out, and it was different.
But different good or different bad?
Different good compared to mine.
Right.
How'd you go about tasting yourself? We must know.
Thanks, Anderson. I just didn't know how to answer
that. Like a Scooby-Doo tongue.
Myself.
Like a spoon.
No, I just my finger up there, and then, I tasted it.
I think it's just
Angie, what do you do for a living?
Everyone's body's different,
Yeah, true. What do you do for a living, Angie?
She makes food.
Angie?
I'm just going to school right now.
She's a professional pussy taster, Drew.
No. Get out of town.
Sandwich man.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Andrew.
Yeah, I think it's just everybody's
a lot of people different. Some people heavier than others. Sometimes it's a bacterial issue, but sometimes that's just somebody's funk. That's the way it goes. All right, Angie, you going to be okay with that?
Yeah.
You'll be all right, though.
All right, you're going to be fine. Just keep going to school. Please, please. For a long, long time. Ashley.
You all got teenagers.
Hey, Ashley.
Hey, Ash. Here's my little problem. After being with my boyfriend for 3 years, we obviously don't use condoms, and every time he's about
to... Why obviously?
Well, I don't know, because that's what you do when you're in a relationship.
What are you doing for birth control?
No, I'm on birth control.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
But every time he comes, it makes me nauseous. I kind of gag when he does it.
Okay, I don't know. Hmm? When he comes in your mouth, right?
No, not in my mouth, in me.
Whoa.
When he comes in me, I physically get kind of I guess.
Do you have any kind of a psychological reaction to that? Is there something that bugs you about it?
I don't know. I think maybe the wetness of it, maybe just knowing that it's going to have to come out eventually. That makes
What do you mean eventually?
Well, I mean the cum has
which sounds up.
Yeah, some comes out, some stays in.
Right. I don't know. So I don't know how to stop myself from doing that. Or
is he on any medication?
No.
Does he do drugs?
He's a pot smoker, yeah.
Interesting. Because sometimes, well, pot shouldn't do that, but like speed is very concentrated in the Sensimo Beaver Nine. Some people.
Oh, no, no, he's not. He's just a lazy pothead.
And opiates sometimes will get into the semen, so people can feel nauseated if they're exposed to opiates. Right. You sure he doesn't take any painkillers or anything like that?
No. I'm sure
you're saying it's more just the thought of it inside you, right?
Yeah, so it's like, it's something mental, I know, but I don't know how to, like, snap myself out of it.
I do not have any good suggestions.
Yeah.
Are you into this guy?
Yes, I am.
Why don't you just tell him to pull out?
Yeah, do it somewhere else.
And you know, do it on your breasts.
Well, oh, so that for somebody that's sensitive to that kind of thing, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Then it actually will vomit.
No, but I mean, maybe the problem is like it's the fact it's inside her.
Yeah,
maybe if it's an external thing.
I maybe I would just give him grief because I thought your friend with the sweaty balls
on your back.
How do I tell him without like offending him or
just tell him you like it? Tell him,
hey, guys, I don't think be offended with. But
yeah,
go ahead. Go ahead.
No, yeah, just to tell him, you know, just tell him
that
you're into it, that's what you like, and that's what will turn you on, and he'll love it, trust
he'll
me.
He'll be fine.
Unless, of course, she does come across it, and it's all like, I don't like that
stuff.
Don't run out of the room screaming, and don't vomit, okay?
Yeah.
Okay,
so,
yeah. Okay, good.
Good.
Job done. Good times.
This is Aisha.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, I just wanted to, Ian and Jamie, I just want to let you guys know how much your music means to me. And how much I appreciate it, because I've been going through a lot lately, and it makes me feel better just to listen to it. So,
what's going on in your life? What's happening, Aisha?
What?
What's happening?
Oh, I just moving and stuff. It's been really hard, but I
just like leaving your friends and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I moved from Florida, so it's been crazy. So,
oh, thanks. Yeah, when we write songs, you know, we always like. I think ultimately we write them for ourselves, but we write them about experiences we've been through and hoping that other people will connect and understand. And it's always cool, as cheesy and as trite as it sounds, it's always cool to hear that it is helping people, and people do connect to the lyrics and they interpret them in whatever way helps them, and that kind of gets them through various situations, you know? So
Yeah, definitely. It makes me feel a lot better, so I just wanted to say thank you for making it.
No worries, anytime. Thanks for calling in.
Appreciate it. Good luck.
Thanks.
This is John.
Hello.
Hey, John.
What's up, man?
Hey, John.
You're on with Lost Prophets.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. What's going on? All right, anyways, I talked to you before. I told you about the problems with my girlfriend. But I wanted to know why, when I participated in, you know, a homosexual act, why do I get violent and angry, and I just want to go home, I want to leave, I want to hurt the person I was with.
Were you sexually abused as a boy?
No.
Hmm. Really?
Really.
No one ever touched you or did anything to you?
I kind of know. Everyone tells me I'm lying about it, but my grandfather, when I was little, you know, I'd sleep with your grandfather or whatever.
Yeah.
Like 4 years old, 5 years old.
Yeah.
He would kind of rest his hand there, but nothing more than that. That made me uncomfortable.
I'm not sure that's likely to cause this sort of thing. The thing I most commonly see with guys that have questions about their sexual orientation, who then have a reaction to, they're compulsed to do something and react to it, usually that compulsion is from some sort of trauma. And as you hit sort of puberty, trauma becomes very attractive. And you're sort of drawn back into it. And you basically end up reenacting the trauma all over again, and that you can have all kinds of reactions to that. But short of that, I'm not sure what you're going on. Maybe just you don't want to be gay and you're having trouble sort of contending with that.
You say you got a girlfriend, right, John?
Yeah. 4 years.
But, you still kind of, you know.
Do stuff with guys.
Do stuff with guys.
I have, yeah, in the past and porn recently.
Porn?
Yeah, gay porn. Yeah,
hasn't you been in porn or you watch it?
I watch it and I've done it. Okay. I watch all porn regularly.
You've done gay porn?
No, I've not done gay porn.
I don't know. I mean,
I felt the.
It's kind of, yeah. I know, but then after you're doing it, you say you regret doing it, right?
I wish you regret at the moment, not afterwards, but at the moment, I feel anger and hatred and mean. I want to hurt them.
Mm. It's weird. I know, like, when guys kind of, you know, orgasm, that, like, 2 minutes afterwards is the most sober you'll ever be in your life. You know, because it's the natural instinct. Like, right. You used to say, like, in the wild, you know, when you're going, they have to get out there and get away from danger.
Yeah, you're putting yourself in a very dangerous position if you're, you know, a lion or something like that, or a rabbit.
You got to retreat.
Yeah,
and then as soon as you finish,
as soon as you orgasm,
your instinct is
like,
to escape.
Oh, my God.
Everything, it's the most sober you'll ever be. Everything's clear. You know, it's just like,
that's what Einstein meant.
What am I doing? You know, it's like, you could solve. Yeah, that's what Stephen Hawking's talking about.
What am I doing?
What am I doing? Who are you?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Fast forward 12 hours, you're on the same pursuit again.
Yeah.
Well, here's
12
the deal.
Hours.
So maybe, John, it's maybe some more extreme version of that.
It sounds like a bad situation, John. I would strongly urge you to see somebody and talk it through a little bit, because you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to get yourself in situations you don't like. You're clearly struggling with something. I don't know what it is. You're not going to be able, 2 minutes on the radio is going to do nothing for you. Please get some help with this. We're going to hear a song. Yes? The song is called Last Train Home. You've heard it on the previous CD. What was that CD called?
Start Something.
Start Something.
Yep.
This is Last Train Home, Lost Prophets.
They get away with everything.
Yeah.
You guys, I don't know. All right, that is Lost Prophets. Last train home. Brokeback Mountain on an airplane.
Yes, that's an interesting one.
I'm flying to Europe next couple months with my kids. I'm going to be...
It's on all the European flights.
I think it's going to be Air France, too. It's, like,
it's on every channel.
Hell,
yeah.
For God's sakes.
It's like a merde. Bonjour, mon ami.
Le coup cassé. Yeah. All right, 1-800-LOV-191. Here we go. It is Loveline. That is Lost Prophets, Ian and Jamie.
Hey.
We're going to take a little break here. We'll be back with more of you after this. Okay, Lost Prophets. I got to read that article you're reading there. Okay. We're talking about the sexual functioning of the neophallus, the sodon phallus. So we're going to get this a little bit. I'll read the next commercial break.
Sorry.
Just don't miss that page.
read it.
Adequate micturation, adequate rigidity. The neophallus allows for sexual intercourse, cosmetically acceptable, tactile and erogenous sensation for the neophallus.
This is great, Drew. Awesome.
Anyway, phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191.
Is that the lost penis that you got in there?
Let us talk to Alexis. You're on with Lost Prophets.
Hey, Alexis.
Hey, Alexis.
Hi.
What's going on?
Okay, here's my situation. I'm pregnant, and I'm, like, past my due date. And my boyfriend is in prison. And I did not tell him I was pregnant. Someone else did. I wasn't going to tell him until the end because I've chosen to give her up for adoption.
God bless you. That is very courageous.
Thank you. We've had a lot of addiction problems, and he was really abusive and just, he cheated on me a lot, and he never hit me or anything like that, but it was just a lot of mental abuse and emotional abuse.
Yeah, sounds awful.
And he found out from a friend of ours when I was about 6 or 7 months pregnant, and we've been talking. He's been actually really supportive of the adoption. It's taken a little bit of time and a lot of patience, but I've been noticing as time has been going on, he's so insecure, and he has all these jealousy issues, and when we're not talking on the phone, we're just, like, writing letters or whatever, things seem to go pretty well, but the more we talk on the phone, it's like he gets really nervous, and he starts making comments, and he hurts my feelings, and he'll call me back and apologize. But
why is this guy in your life?
We've been together for a couple of years, and it's...
Oh, well, that explains it. Then why? You spent 2 years with him. You got to spend another 20.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, like, he's in his 30s. I'm in my 20s.
Why are you with this guy?
I love him, but I don't know if it's
part of
this... I mean, like, I really enjoy his company when he's sober. He's such an awesome person. He's extremely intelligent, and
he's emotionally abusive. He's abusive, and he's hostile and aggressive and paranoid and resentful. It sounds great.
Yeah, doesn't it?
It really does. Here's the deal. Here's the circumstances in which you stay with this guy. If he's in an active program of recovery, going to meetings every day, working with a sponsor, doing steps. Otherwise, you are in for a hell.
This is what I'm scared of. I'm scared he's going to get out and it's going to go back to the way it used to be.
If he's not active in a program of recovery, he is definitely going back the way
I don't think he's suddenly going to change.
No,
just like
no
wake
way.
Up one day and think, oh,
doesn't
yeah,
happen.
I'm kind of done with that now. Yeah, I think he's going
to
need help.
Right, because my life has totally changed. I don't associate with any of the same people. I go to meetings. I had 3.5 years clean and sober before I relapsed. And so, like, I know what I need to do, and I'm doing it. And it's kind of hard for me because it's like...
And you know if he's going to take you down if he goes back to using.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And my biggest problem is right now is that maybe I'm being selfish because I'm staying with him while he's in prison because I do like the fact that he calls and he makes me feel good. I get the letters and I have someone to talk to about some of my most personal things.
Yes, that is selfish. That is selfish.
And I don't know if I'm...
It is kind of unfair to him.
If I'm just going to leave him when he gets out because he can't change, am I being selfish right now for taking advantage of the fact that he's my child's father and that I want something from him?
Yes and no. On one hand, you are being selfish. There's no doubt about it. On the other, he doesn't have any opportunity to make relations with anybody else. At least he has somebody to call and relate to.
Well, yeah, and not only that, but I'm so... This is a really scary time, you know? I'm about to hand over my daughter to somebody and have them raise her.
And I understand.
And I don't want to do it alone.
Well, you've got your sponsor, right?
Yeah, I'm a counselor and my family. And,
all right, okay.
So, like, I have some support. I mean, believe me, I have some support. I found a counselor through my attorney, and
Alexis,
I'm doing some...
You're doing a lot of the right stuff. You're taking care of yourself. You're working a program of recovery. Just keep following direction. Whatever your sponsor tells you to do, follow that direction. Just don't be making a lot of decisions on your own. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, and just take it easy. And this guy, this does not sound like a relationship that's going to last very long, so just be realistic about it and be honest. Alicia.
Hey, I have a quick question. I'm kind of stuck in a bind between two guys right now. I'm 17, and I've been with my ex-boyfriend and I were together for 2.5 years. We broke up in January. And now I'm talking to a new guy who, he's 19, and I don't know if I should go for this new relationship because I'm still stuck in the past and want to be with the other guy. But
Why did you break up with him?
Just things weren't the same anymore. I don't know. Like, I would get really annoyed and frustrated with him, like, after being an hour with him. But I love the guy, don't get me wrong. He just bugs me sometimes.
Yeah, but I mean, if you broke up with him and you haven't been with him since January, then why don't you just try, you know, just hanging out with this other guy? You don't have to date him. You don't have to go out with him, you know, and marry him straight away. You can always just hang out. And
right, you don't have to jump from one relationship to the other.
You don't have to go straight into it. You can go for dinner with him. You know, you can go to the movies and stuff and see if you like at least hanging out with him, you know?
I totally agree. That is Ian Watkins from Lost Prophets. Jamie Oliver also in here. The new CD is called Liberation Transmission. Comes out June 27th. The single, which was a guest premiere on this show tonight.
Yeah.
It's coming out on June 19th. Go get the CD. There's also already out there is, what's the name of the other CD you
guys have? Something.
Start Something. I'll get that. We're going to take a little break to be back to wrap up and wrap down after this. Love Line, Lost Prophets, Ian and Jamie, thank you so much for coming back and joining us.
Thank you for
having us. You guys were great.
Totally.
The website is lostprophets.com. Prophets like religious prophets, not like prophets and loss, not OF.
And we're also on MySpace as well, like I think everybody in the world is.
Lostprophets.com and also MySpace if you want to see where they'll be on tour near you. Also, the CD comes out June 27th, Liberation Transmission. Look for the single June 19th, Rooftops, which was heard, premiered something tonight.
Yeah, just call up your radio station, ask them to play if they're not playing it.
Fantastic. Demand. Thank you guys again. Tomorrow night, Dane Cook. And then finally, Jamie Kennedy after that. So this is going to be a big week. Tune in tomorrow night. Until then, Dr. Drew saying good night and stay well.
Once was a man named Dr. Drew. Solving problems for people is what he loves to do. He doesn't like when people call in with stupid questions and he tells them to get a clue.